Well, welcome everybody to this retreat, Easter 2005. Some of you have been on retreats with me before. I think the majority of you haven't. I have a very clear purpose for the retreats which I give, and that is just to focus on the process of meditation, to encourage everybody to develop their minds into quiet and still states, to be able to let go of all of the memories of the past, plans for the future, or fears for the present, so that one relaxes into this meditation. And from experience, that maybe that I teach meditation in different ways than others, maybe the retreat schedule is not quite as other people would teach retreats, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I know what works and how to gain success in this meditation retreat. So one thing which I always emphasize is that not to be imprisoned by the schedule. We have had a few of the schedules posted around the place, but that is only a framework for you to make use of. For example, tomorrow morning there will be a bell about 4 o'clock, but whoever's ringing the bell, please do it very lightly. It's just to remind people it's 4 a.m. To be loud enough to recognize it, but not to be too loud, that if you're really tired, that you're not really too disturbed, you can roll over and go to sleep again. Now, I say this for a purpose, that if we have too many bells, it becomes too rigid. And what that means is that people can't allow the meditation just to flow naturally. The best results you will find are when, say, in the evening time, after the Q&A session, you sit in meditation and all the conditions are ripe, and you start meditating, you start getting peaceful and still, enjoying yourself. And the last thing you want to do is have to go to bed because you're afraid of getting up early in the morning. So if in the evening time your meditation is going well, carry on meditating. If you don't feel like sleeping, don't go to sleep. And go to bed at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning if you wish. Which means you don't have to get up at 4 o'clock. Meditate late at night. Get up late, whatever happens. Or if you feel very tired, and at 9 o'clock after the Q&A, you go and crash out. You may wake up at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, come and sit meditation. Instead of just thinking, oh, I got to get my sleep. In my retreats, you can sleep at any time. You can sleep during the talk, if you wish. You can sleep while you're eating, if you wish. I don't care. But now what I really mean is that there's plenty of time to take a rest. So first of all, the schedule of going to bed at night and getting up in the morning. Keep it natural, allow it to flow. There'll be times when you need to rest, especially in the early part of this retreat, or if you're feeling sickly. There'll be other times when you don't feel like resting much at all, maybe 1 or 2 hours is all you need. So don't look at other people. Don't try and beat records or compare yourself with others. Just allow it to flow naturally and smoothly. And again, if you make mistakes because you stay up late and you get up early, you can always have a rest during the daytime. You breakfast at 7 o'clock, and if after breakfast, if you don't feel like listening to the talk, it's all recorded, so you can listen to it later. You can just go and crash out and just get up for lunch. And after lunch, crash out again and maybe get up for evening tea. I don't care. The point is that what you really need. And there's a story which I tell at most retreats of a lady in Sydney who followed this advice to the letter. When she came to this retreat, she got up just before breakfast, had her breakfast, and then went to bed again afterwards, and then got up for lunch. And in this particular retreat, the people were in dormitories, so she was sharing a room with three other ladies. And she told me in interview times that those three ladies were giving her such mean looks, as if they were saying, ah, what are you doing that for? You're not really practicing. What it really was just jealousy. They wished they could have had the guts to do that themselves. And this lady, I mention this because the first few days of her retreat, she rested a lot. She slept more than she normally does. And then in the middle of the retreat, her sleep needs started to decrease. She started getting up early in the morning. By the end of the retreat, she was one of the star meditators, getting to very nice deep states of meditation. And of course, that when you understand why she slept a lot at the beginning, she came from a very busy job, an executive in Sydney. And she came to the retreat with what psychologists call sleep deficit. She needed that rest. It was nature, it was her body telling her to rest. And she was mindful and compassionate enough to give herself that time. There are others, sometimes on this retreat, you need that rest because you haven't got sleep deficit from where you come from, but you push yourself too hard during this retreat. You get too tense again. And very often, there's another story which I tell, that every retreat, during interviews, sometimes people come up and say their meditation is not getting anywhere, that they're just so restless or so dull and they can't get anywhere. And I give them standard advice, which I found is always successful. I got 100% success on this method. I tell them to go back to your room and have a sleep. And they say, I can't do that. It's on a retreat. I'm supposed to be putting forth effort. I said, shut up, go back to your room, have a sleep. And after you had a sleep, have a shower, have a cup of tea or orange juice or something, and then come and meditate. 100% success rate. They can have a rest, you know, a nice shower, freshen themselves up, some juice or a cup of tea or something. They come and sit, and they always say, wow, that was such a wonderful meditation, that sit after I've had a rest. And the point is, they're relaxed, they're at ease, they've attended to their body, and now the mind is willing to play. So be gentle with your body. You can all recall one of the most important stories in the life of the Buddha, was where he gave up the path of asceticism and discovered the middle way. And the middle way is such a hard thing to find. If you are indulging too much, again, you don't get any energy, just the mind is all over the place. But if you're too tough, your mind is all over the place as well. And most people, you're either Westerners or you're Asians who've been infected by the Western disease in this place here, of striving and controlling and wanting. You've been trained like that ever since you were small in primary school and high school. You're achievers. And now we've got to go in the opposite direction of just relaxing, allowing things just to flow, letting go, not being the controller. That's a hard thing to do. This is where you've got to be kind and compassionate to your body. The Buddha saw that, and so he took a meal, had a nice soft cushion to sit on, rested, bathed, and then he meditated under the Bodhi tree and became enlightened. And of course, as soon as he started doing that, his five former disciples thought that he was just being slack, just indulging, not putting forth effort. And they were just so upset with the way he's changed his practice, they abandoned him. They lost their respect for him. And you can see that it's usually the case that especially in spiritual practices, we always tend to be too austere, too ascetic, thinking no pain, no gain. But the Buddha noticed that. He said, no pain, no enlightenment. So the wrong way around. No pain equals enlightenment, end of suffering. Stop all this forcing business. So during this retreat, take it easy. Because when you take it easy at the beginning of the meditation, when you're not expecting so much, not forcing so much, there'll be times you sit down there not expecting anything and the mind becomes still and peaceful. And it starts to happen, the meditation just starts to flow. And that's a time, just allow it to flow. To give yourself that time. It doesn't matter about bells or chanting, just carry on meditating. It doesn't matter about going to bed or eating, just carry on meditating. If you're enjoying it, having fun, just carry on. And every year on these retreats, there's always a few people who don't just miss breakfast, but they miss lunch as well. It's lovely to see them there. It gets to 11 o'clock, they're just cross-legged, nice smile on their face. They know it's 11 o'clock. They know if they don't get up soon, they won't have anything to eat until the following morning. They don't care. They're just having too much fun in their meditation. Just carry on. Now that's actually what happens when you don't allow these things of the world, like time, to bother you. If you miss a meal, it doesn't matter. You can get something else tomorrow. You won't die. And imagine if that's you. You just don't care about the meal because you've got something even more important. The joy and happiness of your meditation. And sometimes you surprise yourself. Sometimes you never sat more than half an hour, 45 minutes. And then you do 3 or 4 hours. My goodness, what's happened? It just happens naturally. Without you actually wanting it, forcing it, expecting it, or doing anything. So this natural method of meditation is what works the best. Meditation, the whole job is for you to get out of the way and allow it to happen. It just happens by a natural phenomenon. It's cause and effect, that's all. So your job, all you need to do is to put your backside on the cushion or on the chair. Do some walking meditation and just allow it to happen. But there's one rule which I'm really going to try and enforce on this retreat, and this is going to be a strict rule about no talking. Because that always does lead to a lot of disturbance in the retreat. It disturbs other people even more than it disturbs yourself. Because when you start talking, it just brings the mind outside. It's like a magnet which takes you away from meditation and the inner solitude out there into the world. There'll be plenty of time to talk afterwards, but not during this retreat. So please, whether it's in the kitchen, when you're preparing the food, just shh. You don't need to talk to each other. You know what to do. See if you can actually point out, use sign language or whatever. To say what we need. You know that whenever I want a cup of tea, I always make the sign. Tea. So people can get me a cup of tea or something. Or no, C for coffee. That way around. Whatever you want. So try and use sign language first of all. So don't break out into speech, because once you say that first word, all the other words, they just come pouring out like Niagara Falls. So just stop it. Be quiet. And if someone comes and starts talking to you, don't tell them you should not talk. And say, now you're talking as well, but so are you. You started it. No, you started it. And don't go into those sorts of stuff. If someone comes and talks to you, just put your finger in front of your mouth and say, shh. That word is allowed. Shh. Or even no shoot, just put the finger in front of your mouth silently as a signal to them that they've lost their mindfulness. They should be silent. But also in your rooms, in the corridors. Monks have got very sensitive ears. So we'll know who's talking. So, no talking. Those of you who are business people, turn off your mobile phones. No telephone calls during this retreat. Don't check on the stock market, your husband who's away, or don't check on the soccer results or whatever else you're into in this world. Just forget all about that. It's like you've left the world for 9 days. So allow yourself to leave the world. So we have no contact with outside. I mean no contact with other people. Even the other people sitting next to you. So shh. Be really quiet and don't speak at all. Because if people start speaking, please let me know, and I'll just make these announcements. Please keep quiet, please keep quiet, please keep quiet. Because otherwise it just disturbs the atmosphere of a retreat. All you need to do is to be strict for 1 or 2 days, the first 2 or 3 days, and it becomes so natural. You come on, monks. Come in. It becomes so natural that you don't want to speak. It comes to the last day of a retreat, and it's just so hard to want to speak again. You just don't like to speak. And you have a wonderful sense of camaraderie with everybody else. The friendship grows in the silence. You don't need to speak to each other to communicate, to be friends. It's a different way of relating. So please be very, very silent. You've got to be very careful about that in the times you have the breakfast or tea or lunch. Because in our society, that's usually the time we're supposed to speak to each other. Restaurants are noisy. The breakfast table is where you chat. But not here. So be careful around when you're eating. Remember, the food goes in the mouth and nothing comes out. One-way traffic during the lunchtime. And that means that we're actually developing this beautiful sense of mindfulness, restraint, and putting the attention inside rather than outside. That restraint is important. That's why we have our precepts. It restrains us. That's why we don't eat in the evening, because we don't have to worry about too much food. Just take a light thing. So I think a few people got permission if they got diseases or they're about to die, which all of you are, you know, to have a bit of this and a bit of that. I don't care about that, as long as it's simple, so you're not making a big deal about eating in the evening. Then just no radios, no entertainment. The entertainment comes from within. After a while in that silence, you don't need TVs. You just go walking out in the garden and watch the sunset or watch the stars at night. Just, you know, watch the flowers. It's a beautiful place. This retreat center, its major attraction, the two major attractions, is your own rooms. The second major attraction is a beautiful garden outside. So, rooms and gardens means you don't always have to meditate in this room, you know, in here. If you feel that you want to meditate with other people because, you know, it sort of pulls you along, fine. But if you want to meditate in your room, your little cave, your little hermitage, then meditate in there. It's a wonderful little place, so no one's watching you. You just sit there at any time. Or if you feel like you want to sit outside under a tree, sit outside under a tree. Walk anywhere in these grounds. But please don't go into where the church and their monastery is, because going through those gates, so that's their area. I think you know what I mean. Because I think last time they complained, somebody was wandering there doing walking meditation while the monks over there were doing gardening or something. So that's their area. We've got plenty of area over here. And please don't go outside the compound unless you really have some permission that you've got to do some other business. Because as soon as you go outside this compound, you see the traffic and the people, and it gets disturbing. So stay within. And everything is supplied for you here. You get your breakfast, you get your lunch, but showers and stuff. Oh, one little thing, because for those of you, well, we've all got our little hand basins, but you'll notice, at least every time before, those hand basins make a lot of noise, especially if you start using them to have a brush your teeth or wash your face at 1 o'clock in the morning. And on the retreats, I've been woken up many times at that particular time. So can I ask you, if at all possible, don't use the hand basins, maybe between like 10 and 4? And if you want to sort of use the basin, then just go into the main toilets, because that the pipes don't run through other people's bedrooms. Because the people downstairs, and the monks are downstairs, all those pipes, the water goes up and makes a lot of noise, and as soon as you sort of the water goes down, dribbles down, that makes a noise, because the pipes go right through your bedroom. So try not, if at all possible, to use those hand basins between 10 and 4, unless it's an emergency. If you want to use the hand basins, use the ones in the main toilets. And just try and be quiet, not to slam any doors. And sometimes people do that because sometimes the wind catches the doors. So it's a nice and quiet, kind, compassionate retreat. When it comes tomorrow, you get up whatever time you want. There will be a bell at 4 o'clock. Some people will be sitting here before the bell. Some people, you won't see them at all until breakfast. Don't worry what other people are doing. Just what you need. That's most important. If you feel like meditating, meditate. If you make a mistake, you meditate and you feel just, I just really need some rest. Go back to bed. And there won't be a bell for breakfast at 7 o'clock, because you don't need a bell for the meals. There's a natural bell which comes up inside each one of you. It's something that people never really miss. So it'll be 7 o'clock will be breakfast. And then after that, it's time to sort of, those people are doing the chores, to wash up afterwards. At 8 o'clock, we have a talk. And I usually give on these retreats the main talk in the morning time. The reason I do that is because it's actually to set the day with a particular aspect of meditation. So the morning talk was always the most important one. So that sets you off for the day on a particular aspect of developing these peaceful, quiet states of mind. And you see that basically I've just got one aim, which is just to get you into jhana at least as close as you possibly can. Because that will just blow you apart, literally, and make you see something about the Dhamma which, you know, most people don't know, don't see. And just see how easy it is as well, how the time it just flows. And again, when you get out of the way, when you don't do things, when you stop being the great controller. And once you understand how to get into these jhanas, you understand why I make these retreats in this particular way. When I don't control you and say, 4 o'clock you get up, 5 o'clock you do this, 6 o'clock you do that, 8 o'clock you do something else. That's all control freak again. So if we don't do that, in the way we run this retreat, is the way you meditate. You work with your mind, not against it. You work with your body, not trying to make it do things which it just can't do. You let go. You become at peace with things. And if you keep on doing this for 9 days, of course you're going to get something. It's going to happen because you're putting all the causes into effect. You're being silent. You're not disturbing the world. You're not disturbing others. With the external silence, you find your mind becomes silent. Don't try and stop the thinking mind. That's just more controlling again. The mind is thinking, let it think. Your job is just to watch, not to interfere. You're just observers of this whole process. But don't think that you are driving this process. The more you drive your car, the more crashes you have. In this meditation retreat, you park your car and you abandon it. You park your mind and leave it alone and watch the whole world become very still and peaceful. So in the morning we have talks about this, giving you more instructions, more information on how to make the mind peaceful and still. And usually on these retreats, you know, I just talk about meditation for the first 6 or 7, 8 days. There's different aspects of it. Only the last couple of days we start to talk about insight. But some people say, oh, when you get calm, you're supposed to do insight. No, you're not supposed to do anything. When you get quiet, don't do anything. Insight comes to you naturally. Wisdom arises out of peace. The tree blossoms, the flowers come out, and the fruit comes afterwards. If you see the flower, you know the fruit's coming soon. You don't have to sort of squeeze the fruit out of the flower. You just destroy the whole process. Just watch the flower bloom. Isn't it beautiful? The beautiful jhanas. And then afterwards, you know the fruit's going to come soon. That's the insight. It's nature. You don't do anything. You just wait. One of the sayings of my great teacher, Ajahn Chah, when I first went to his monastery, Wat Bapong, this was before Wat Banana Chart was formed as the international monastery. So we're all at Ajahn Chah's monastery with all the Thai monks. He would keep on saying the same old phrase, which I just could not understand. And the saying was that his monastery, Wat Bapong, was a mango orchard. He kept on saying, all the mango trees have already been planted. They're already sort of nice and tall. They've already got fruit on them. You monks these days, you don't have to do anything at all. The garden, the orchard has already been built for you. All you need to do is pull up your hat, out your hand and catch the mango as it falls. You don't have to do anything else. Well, that was crazy. What do you mean? I'm supposed to practice. I'm supposed to strive to make my mind still, really work hard. He said, no, it's already been done. The orchard's there, the mangoes are on the trees. Just put your hand out, and after a while a mango will drop into it. And that's what he used to say. Of course, these days you understand what he meant. You guys work too hard. The orchard has already been made. The fruits are on the trees right here in this retreat center. All you've got to do is just to stop And just every now and again put your hand out and the foot will fall in. To stop. And the insight will come to you. The peace will come to you. So this is a do-nothing retreat. Just sit there and don't do anything. Allow the mind to become peaceful and still. But be natural with it. If you feel tired, take a rest. If you're restless, allow yourself to be restless. Don't feed the fire. Let go. And that way the meditation retreat just works so well. So I give these talks in the morning from 8 till 9. If you feel tired, don't worry, you can go back and you can get the talk later on. And we'll have, not tomorrow, tomorrow the first day, people just settle in. Tomorrow's a Friday. Saturday we start the interviews. And with the interviews, everybody has a chance, a 5 minute, or is it? It's usually a 5 minute interview, that's all one really needs. It's not about your life problems, it's not about your finances, it's not about your marriage difficulties, it's about your meditation. We keep it focused just on how your meditation's going. And everyone has a chance for an interview every other day. And I put up a list on the board with your name next to it in a roster, and there'll be an opportunity that if you don't want to have that interview that day because things are going well, or you're too embarrassed about what you've been up to, you don't want to face me, or whatever it is the reason you don't want an interview, you can just put a cross next to your name and then you'll know that you're not coming. And give a bit of extra time for other people. So you don't have to come to the interview, but at least put a cross next to your name to let me know. Every second day you have an interview, and the last couple of days, it's like a free-for-all. You just put a list up there and you can just put your names down. If you wanted an interview for the last 2 days. So every one of you will have at least the opportunity for 3 interviews during this time, every second day. Enough to really give you a big boost in your meditation. And you know I am kind. You don't need to be afraid of the interview. It's not an interrogation. This is not the CIA in Abu Ghraib prison. This is not Guantanamo Bay. This is Perth. So you don't need to be afraid. And can help your meditation. And also gives me some feedback as well. It's always really pleasant. You may not have any questions. If you had a really nice meditation, you come and tell me. Oh, John Brahm, it's so nice. It's so wonderful. Oh. Please come and tell me, because I always like that. Always get one or two nice interviews like that during the meditation retreat. And this is what happens. And in the evening, so you know, after 8 to 9 o'clock talk, you can meditate, you can go to sleep, 11 o'clock, dinner, lunch, do your duties. Afternoon, I think there's a time when on the schedule there you can come and sit at a certain time. You can take a rest if you want. It's up to you. But the afternoons are very long. And the first couple of days, sometimes you get very bored and sleepy. Go and take a rest or have a walk in the garden. But after a while you get into it. And these open afternoons become really good fun. Times when you can really get into your meditation. If it's too hot here, under a tree. If you're on the lower rooms, you can in your rooms. It's very, very cool. So wherever you want to sit, sit there. If you want to sit on chairs, that's why we've got these chairs there, not to look on, to sit on. So you can actually use the chairs if your knees are a bit sore. In the afternoons are the times you can really get into a long meditation. You've got like 12 o'clock after lunch. Right until 8 o'clock. You can sit right 8 hours. Yeah. If you feel like it. Sometimes you do. So it's a nice open time. If you want to take a rest, you can. And at 8 o'clock we have this question and answer session, which I always found very useful. The question and answer session, which will start tomorrow, you'll find outside on the table there, there'll be bits of paper, and you can write a question on that piece of paper. The question is really supposed to be about meditation, but other aspects of Buddhism are okay too. But usually we get plenty of questions, so you can only write one question per day, not two, not three. So if you've already written a question there and you think of a better one, you have to find your old question, tear it up, and replace it with your new one. And the questions, they can't have three parts. to it, A, B, and C. Just one question, one part, nice and simple. And please don't make the question the whole essay, like reading a book before you get to the question. Make it nice, clear, and simple. And sometimes it may be not something you really know the answer to already, but you think that's an interesting question which you know the answer to, which other people might benefit from. I've seen that very often, that people ask these questions, even they know the answer, that other people maybe need to have that question asked. And so they ask it on behalf of others. And especially if it's something which I've said that morning, which may be a bit difficult to understand. So that's the time for the questions and answers in the evening between 8 and 9 o'clock. And you don't need to be afraid about speaking in public, because you just write them down on pieces of paper. I know there's many people here from Malaysia and from Singapore, so please write them down in English, please not in Chinese. Not in Sinhalese. When I say that, I mean that sometimes they think it's English, but it looks to me like Chinese because they don't write it neatly enough. So please be mindful and careful when you're writing these things, so at least I can read it and understand what you're trying to say. So just take care with it. And after the evening questions and answers, a nice time just to either meditate, or if you're really tired, go back to your room. Sometimes after that evening questions and answers, I often see people go into the kitchen, get themselves cup of tea or something, and then come back here to meditate afterwards. I believe it's okay that the kitchen is open for tea, coffee, juices at any time. Is that okay? Is that what they said? It's usually the case. So, if you feel like you need a cup of tea, just go out there, get a cup of tea or a juice or whatever. We have a sort of supposed to have a tea time at, was it 6 o'clock or 7 or 5 or what? 5 o'clock. But you can always have a cup of tea any other time. It's all out there. You can make yourself a cup of tea. Just wash your cups up. Be quiet. But don't go in there having a cup of tea and having a discussion of the morning Dharma talk with your mates. It's not a time to talk in there. So be quiet. That's the most important. And try not to make any noise. It is a small meditation hall in here. So that because we're not meditating at the same time, you can come and meditate whenever you want. When you feel it's time to get up, you can get up. You don't have to wait for any bells. You have to be very sensitive to the people sitting next to you, or just behind you, in front of you, to make sure that when you do get up and down, you get up like a burglar. The burglar practice is means you can actually sneak into this room and sit next to that person, and they haven't heard you at all. When you get out, you can move up and around people and out, and no one has heard you. So when you come into this room, when anyone else is sitting, just imagine you're a burglar. If you make any noise, you'll get caught and sent to jail. If you make any noise when you go out, you'll get fined. So try the burglar practice. Burglars have to have lots of mindfulness, because they have to, otherwise they'll get caught every time. So, I'm not trying to encourage you to be a burglar when you leave here. This is not a camp for prospective burglars, otherwise you'll get in big trouble. This is just a simile for how to be mindful. In other words, silent, caring for other people. And I think that's most of the instructions. I don't think there's anything else which I've missed out. Should have told you, shouldn't, or not have told you. I know that sometimes, it's always the case, some people are chitty willies, and they just like nice and hot. Some people hate the heat and they like it cold. So you'll never be able to please everybody. So it's usually just one person's in charge of the air conditioner, or one person in charge of the fans. Because sometimes someone turns on the fan and they go down to sit, and someone else goes up and they turn it off. And then the first person goes up and turns it on again. We have this circus act. So don't worry about that. If you're a bit cold, get a blanket. If you're a bit warm, just go and... No, I shouldn't say take your clothes off. That's not the right thing to do. You just take your blanket off and just go and sit outside somewhere. So just be compassionate to others. I know that we've had a couple of warm days in Perth. That's why the air conditioner's on today, because I think the whole buildings have warmed up. But if I'm correct, the weather forecast the next couple of days is cooler? It usually is, because when they do a retreat, all the heavenly beings, they come and help out, make sure it's nice and cool and nice for you all. So that should be easy enough to make it nice and cool the next couple of days. So I probably won't need the aircon on tomorrow, I'd imagine. So it'll be nice and cool for you all. Okay, I think that's most of the basic instructions for today. I'll be giving the first talk on meditation tomorrow and really getting into it. Oh yeah, if you want to read books, as long as it's a meditation book or meditation manual, that's fine, but don't read a novel. It's not the time for just hanging out with a sort of a romance or whatever else you read. And I think that should be about it. Is there anything else which I missed out, Rodney? Because anything else? Any questions which you have? Yeah. Chant mindfully in your room. It's probably not a good idea, simply because somebody may be using the room next to you to meditate in. So if you want to do some chanting, just maybe go out into the garden, because then you can chant as loud as you like. That should be okay. We'll do the morning, some morning chanting and evening chanting. We'll just do a very simple chanting of the homage to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and also the Metta Sutta in English. Do we bring those chanting books this time? Sorry? Oh yeah, we've got the chanting books, good. So many of you will know those chants already, they're very easy. You certainly know them by the end of the retreat anyway. So very, very easy, just a little bit of chanting. We just do that to make sure that you don't completely lose your voice. So when you go home, you've got a voice, a voice to use. Just have a little bit of practice every morning and every evening. So it's probably best not to do any chanting in your room, because the walls are very thin and people are very sensitive. And imagine the karma. They're just about to drop into a jhana and then you start chanting away. And, oh, what bad karma that was. Any other questions? Yeah. Any other comments or questions? If anyone's got any complaints during the retreat, then please see the manager. If you've got any praise or compliments, you can come and see me. No, you can actually see me for complaints as well. But it should work out okay. But please, the main rule, please keep quiet. That's the one thing in my retreats, because everything else is nice and loose, and don't enforce strict discipline on other areas. People take advantage of my kindness and they start talking away. So this one, please keep quiet. Okay, I don't want to be firm and to say anyone who talks after the third warning, three strikes and you're out, because that's a bit mean. But remember that sometimes we did think about that once, because people were talking too much on one retreat. So please don't make us enforce those sorts of rules. Keep quiet. If someone talks to you, don't need to talk back. And that discourages them. Yeah. The toilet. Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. There's a very close toilet here. And that toilet, when you flush, you can hear it right in here. So it's much better to use not these toilets, which are just between here and the kitchen, but use other toilets, except obviously in emergencies. Because you've got toilets in those main toilets in the rooms. They're the best ones to use, unless it's really, really emergency. And don't eat too much, and don't drink too much, so you don't need to use the toilet so much. You can meditate just all day then. Any other questions before we finish off? Okay. So we can have fun. Those of you who are tired, you can just go back and have a rest straight away. If you want to have another drink, have something to drink. If you want to carry on meditating, carry on meditating. Keep it loose, especially for the first few days. Don't expect anything. in the first few days. This is just time to acclimatize yourself to the meditation retreat. So just see what you can do to ease your mind and ease your body into this period of silence, rest, and ease. Okay, so off you go.